Welcome to the Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In today's talk, Pastor Ed Young shares insights in his message titled, The Big Idea. He illuminates the truth that during life's challenges, God offers remarkable plans when the enemy seeks to destroy or twist them. Through Pastor Ed's message, we're reminded of the pivotal choice between embracing God's divine purpose or yielding to the enemy's deception. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called The Big Idea. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
I was Googling some ideas recently, and I came across the top 10 ideas that changed the world. I thought it was pretty interesting. Number 10, the internet. So glad that Al Gore had that idea. What a brilliant man. Number 9, contraceptives. Got very quiet. Number 8, penicillin. Number 7, the light bulb. Number 6, the telephone. Number 5, the combustion engine. Number 4, the printing press. Number 3, the compass. Number 2, the nail. And number 1, the wheel. I would have to argue, though, I think the number one idea that changed the world is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I don't think there's any scholar, historian, anthropologist, or scientist who could debate me on that, whether they believe it or not. The number one idea that's changed the world is this divine idea, this Easter idea. I like to use phrases with ideas in them. That's a bright idea. Let's just bounce some ideas off of each other. If I want to sound smart, I'll say, I'm ideating. My favorite, though, is, what's the big idea? What's the bottom line? Well, today I want to talk to you about the big idea, God's big idea of Easter. That's what I'm going to talk about. God's big idea of Easter. God is the God of the idea. He had an idea to create the earth. He had an idea to make you and me. So an idea created the world. A bad idea condemned the world, and even a greater idea has redeemed the world. I don't know about you, but I have ideas all the time. Ideas are collections of thoughts that segue into activity. They solve problems, ideas. Most of us have about 100,000 thoughts a day, and you group those up and you've got some ideas. The ability to ideate comes from God, whether we give him credit or not. God has a big idea for your life. When God thinks about you, he only has good vibes, good ideas. He doesn't have any negative ideas about you. You've never looked at someone that God is not thinking about. Think about that for a second. You've never locked eyes with someone that God is not thinking about. God is inspired to ideate about you and me. And this inspiration comes from his love. God is love. Love isn't God. No, no, no. God is love. God is justice. God is mercy. God is grace. God is good. God is. It's called the isness of God. So ideas are intrinsic to who God is. They're inspirational. Again, I have to have an outside source to be inspired to have an idea. Let me tell you a terrible idea I had when I was a teenager. I'll just confess this. My father is a pastor. He still is. 86 years old and throttled to the firewall right now. Dad is preaching who knows how many services. In my early teenage years, he pastored a church in a small southern town. This downtown church had a 5-story building. At the top of the building was a basketball court, like a basketball gym. On the 4th floor, 3rd floor, and so forth, you had classrooms and things. So I'm the pastor's kid. I got there early. We had Sunday night church. Ooh, how bad was that? Anyway, I got there early. I'm hanging out, messing around with some of my friends, you know, again, 13, 14 years old. So we found ourselves on the 4th story, right before church. And I'm looking outside the 4-story window at people going to church. I thought to myself, what if I spit on them? Could I spit? I mean, am I that coordinated? Could I spit on someone's head? I saw my first target, a lady with the beehive hairdo, you know? And I figured out if I spit 3 cracks in front of the sidewalk in front of my victim, it would hit the target pretty much every time. So sure enough, this woman, 3 cracks away, and it was beautiful. She had no idea I spit. And it was right on the top of her beehive. She went into church. I thought, my friends were like, hey, you're hilarious, man. I can't believe you did that. I said, well, I've got a better idea. So I saw a trash can in one of the classrooms, and I went to the nearest water fountain. I'm talking about those old school water fountains where the water was like ice cold. You know what I'm talking about? I filled the thing full of ice cold water. I don't know how I did it, but I picked it up, walked all the way to that 4th story window. And I go, guys, there were some girls there too. I said, don't say anything, okay? Because, you know, girls talk. I said, just watch me. You know, I was showing off and all that. So I said, I'm gonna throw this water 4 stories down on somebody. Some of the girls were like, no, don't, Ed. Be quiet. So I saw this religious guy, you know, carrying the big pulpit Bible, you know, under his arm, had a big bow tie on, hair slicked back. He's walking. I'm like, this guy is just yearning to be hit. So 3 cracks, I let the water go. And I remember it like it was yesterday, watching that water cascade 4 stories down. Putoosh! It hit him like a tidal wave. It was my first baptism. The guy's bow tie was wilted, and he starts cursing at us. You black anybody? Who's up there? Yelling. We're like backing off so we, you know, couldn't see us. So I said, we got to get out of here. I said, don't say a word. Don't say a word. So we found the staircase. We're walking down the stairs just calmly. And we see this guy hauling up the stairs. You can hear his feet sloshing with the water. I mean, he's just totally drenched. And he sees me, he goes, Ed, do you know someone threw water down on the 4th story? Do you know who it could be? I said, sir, I have no idea. That's so terrible. If I have any ideas, I'll let you know. So I'm thinking, okay, I've gotten away with it. I've gotten away with this genius idea. Church is getting ready to start, so I'm making my way into church, and Dad's assistant comes up to me. I'm thinking, that's odd. She goes, Ed, your dad wants to see you in his office right now. What? Because dad never talks to anyone before he preaches. Are you sure? Yes. So I walk into dad's big office, sit down, there he is across the desk. He said, son, did you throw water from the fourth story on Mr. Whatever? I said, yes, sir. He said, great, that's a great idea. That guy's negative and he's a cheapskate and I hope he leaves the church. Great job, son. God is inspired by love. And the Bible says in Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. Is that just ridiculous? I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. So let me say it again. God's idea for your life is ideal. But the enemy always has his repeal to God's amazing ideal. And we have the opportunity to select God's ideas or not. So God's idea is inspirational. That's the first part of God's big idea.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting the Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Friday night, you know, we were at Clyde Warren Park, and the park told us we had between 9 to 11,000 people in attendance for our Good Friday service. It was an amazing time of worship and fun and community. Well, I hit the stage, and I began to talk for about, 20 minutes. And while I'm speaking, I hear people on bullhorns just yelling at me. And I found out after I spoke, these were First Amendment IGMOs. It's a good word. I can think of others that would describe them better. So here I am talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and they're just bombarding me with all of these words and phrases and things of that nature. Now, I've had the opportunity to speak for a long, long time. I've been interrupted a lot. That's just part of it. But I have never, ever, ever been interrupted the entire time I was talking. I was like, Lord, just give me the words to say. It was almost like an out-of-body experience. So I shared the gospel. And of course, the gospel was shared through the music and through what I said. Even though there was a bunch of noise. Even though these people were trying to drown out the gospel, many people became followers of Christ. So I'm going to warn you, the enemy does not want me to share what I'm going to share with you today. He doesn't. And you're going to have all sorts of white noise, and you're going to have all sorts of things and ideas in your mind trying to get you off of the big idea. But that is the evil one himself. God, though, does not create evil. I hope you know that. Sometimes people try to be real smart and go, well, Ed, how could God create evil? God did not, let me repeat, did not create evil. God's love is inspirational, but the second part of his idea is this dilemma. The dilemma is a freedom of choice. And because we have a freedom of choice, we can have evil. We can either choose God's ideal idea, or we can choose our own ideas. The absence of God is evil. And yes, there's a dark, personal, sinister force named the devil. He has his crew. He's working all over the earth. It does not take someone with a high IQ to see that or to understand that. Yet he, before he became the devil, chose to follow his own idea. And that's who we're dealing with. So every time God has a gift, the enemy has a counterfeit. So what is the big idea of Easter? It's an inspirational, it's about love. Dilemma, what's the dilemma? Sin. You know, I'm a natural born sinner, so are you. We just sin. Sin is something that I do. I'm just a born sinner. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Isn't that interesting? No one knows why we die. It's so funny to hear people try to explain why people die. No one knows why we die except the Bible. We die because of sin. We're not made to die. We're made to live forever. The wages of sin is death. But, it continues, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died in our place. So you have the inspirational dilemma. What's the dilemma? Our freedom of choice. What's the dilemma? Man sinned. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, that they realized the consequences of their sin. They realized they were naked. In the dirty South, we'd say naked. They realized they were naked. And here's what God did. God rolled out his redemptive idea. God killed an animal in front of them, spilled its blood. They'd never seen blood before. They'd never seen the unnatural movements of death before. He skinned the animal, and he used the skins to cover their nakedness, to cover the consequences of their sin. God was rolling out this incredible idea. It was evolving. An inspirational dilemma, freedom of choice, sin. It began to evolve there. It evolved into the Old Testament sacrificial system, and it hit the apex when God sent Jesus to spill his blood on a Roman cross for our iniquities and rise again. So throughout Scripture, God shows us it takes the spilling and the shedding of the blood of an innocent third party to atone for the sins of man. That's the big idea. There's only one, the sinless one, who could take your sin and mine. There's only one who could and can justify us and extend mercy and grace and this supernatural love. And his name is Jesus. Do you realize Jesus? Do you realize Jesus in the garden? Read about his struggle. Lord, are you sure this idea is what you want me to follow? And he submitted to the idea. And the idea was Jesus, his torturous death, his sacrifice, and his bodily resurrection. I saw a line in the media a couple days ago, and only the media could come up with a line this idiotic. Here's what they said. Elon Musk lays it all on the line to buy Twitter. What? Lays it all on the line? $43 billion. Okay, let's say he takes that out of his net worth. He's got $200 billion left over. I mean, I could cut some corners and live off that, couldn't you? Laid it all on the line. What a joke. Jesus laid it all on the line. I mean, he laid it all on the line. You see, God is a God who is just. Sin has to have a punishment. What is it within you and me? We have this justice chip in us. Like this whole situation with Ukraine, what Russia is doing, I'm like going, somebody's got to pay. This guy that shot up a subway situation, subway car or on the subway train in New York. I mean, when I saw that, followed that story, I said, somebody's got to pay. And then Will Smith slaps Chris Rock. Somebody's got to pay. My animals don't have this justice chip in their lives. I mean, this morning when our four dogs were running around from a Great Dane. We used to have a Doberman. A Great Dane to a Maltese and two Golden Doodles. I mean, they're not thinking about justice. They really have never thought about it. They've never entertained the thought of justice, but we have that justice chip. So Jesus paid for your sins and mine, something that we do not deserve even after our best day, because sin separates us from God. It creates a delta. So God's inspiration, love, the dilemma, freedom of choice and sin, that's a dilemma. Then we have the evolution, as I explained to you, the evolution of this incredible idea, and it evolves into action. Jesus was and is the man of miracles. It's so miraculous. His death, burial, and resurrection affords you and me the opportunity to take action and receive Christ into our lives. To receive the same power that brought Jesus back from the grave. It's on tap in your college career, in your company, in your marriage, as you're a single parent. It's on tap. Jesus had to die. He died in your place, in my place. He rose again, and he's the first of billions of believers who will rise again. He has power over the grave. He took it all so we can know him personally. He has a big idea for every person's life that we would personally apply the implications of the resurrection inside of our lives, because most people, you know, you intellectually would agree, oh yeah, Jesus rose again. But have you put personal action on that idea, on that situation? When I think about action, I think about one more quick thing. Jesus had just rose from the grave, and the disciples didn't even get it. They were like, I mean, the idea was over their heads. They had no clue. They thought he was going to set up some kind of a physical kingdom. So Mary runs down to the empty tomb, and she begins to talk to this guy. She thinks this guy is a gardener, but it's really the Son of God. And check out this conversation, John chapter 20, verse 14. She saw Jesus there. This is early in the morning, dark 30, but had no idea it was Jesus. I believe many of you here, you have no idea you're right next to Jesus. He's next to you in a relationship, next to you in a situation. Maybe he's next to you in this service. You feel that tug, that pull in your life. That's the Holy Spirit of God nudging you, wanting you to acquiesce and embrace Jesus, because as you continue in the conversation in John 20, Jesus called Mary by name. Mary, he said. Then she realized it was Jesus. She embraced him. And it's my prayer, as he calls your name, that you would embrace him.
Thank you for joining us today on The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We trust this message has inspired you to embrace God's best plan and purpose for your life. Remember, God has extraordinary plans awaiting you. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as Pastor Ed delivers another encouraging and exciting message designed with you in mind. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be a part of what God is doing through The Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.